Where she's going to stand is a decision of a lifetime.
Cut your wrists and strut down to the morgue.
I think it moved. I'm pretty sure it moved.
No, it's packed like a fucking Christmas stocking.
But he comes out and he just drops ass.
I mean, you're essentially your demolition ass.
He could still tap out, though, due to ass. He wants some more ass.
I think he's suggesting something a little more in the naughty list department.
Then clap them nuts for you? Have some funny with Dunny.
She said, just let's get the poison out. He's a missionary lover.
Yeah, her sitting on a rope is like her leg drop.
Her sitting on Jack Dunny's frozen rope.
Vince calls it an object.
It's ghetto blaster time, fool.
It's ghetto blaster time, fool.
It's what is important is money, not Tunny.
Are we assholes for laughing about this? I don't know.
Yeah, use it once in a while. It's special.
It's a fucking show, idiot.
My quarter list!
And what about when she took the skirt off and showed some ace?
Oh, God. I saw more of Randy's ass.
We at GBW Pods, we love Marty Jannetty.
I think that's why Razor Ramon was sent to show us the way. Razor Ramon?
Razor Ramon?
Do you think he's trying to add high-risk flying man moves to his arsenal?
Can S my D.
I think Double A is to Sunset Flips what Rick Rude is to Atomic Drops.
Get onto the Vader bum, bitch.
He fucking falls on his ass.
God, I love the show so much.
Why are these guys, like, licking kids' faces when they come out? Yeah, he went down. You didn't see him. Yeah, he was under the desk. Kind of like Liz from Tunney's office. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Roboy Wrestling Podcast presents...
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Banks.
Handsome Kevin. Slut.
And today, we're going to be covering WWF Saturday Night's Main Event number 20. Big 2-0. This is episode 11 of 12 of season 6 of the show here. All roads lead to WrestleMania 5, man.
I guess.
This son of a bitch took place live from the chocolate capital of the world, Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's like the first thing that Vince says.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe he's right. I don't know.
Oh, they make the bars, you know.
You big chocolate fan? You big chocolate guy?
Oh, love the chocolate.
Love the chocolate. You a dark chocolate man? You a regular chocolate man? You a white chocolate man?
I like it all, man.
Oh, you like it all. What about nougat?
Nougat's all right.
It's okay. It's got its place.
You know, it's a nice, accessory to chocolate.
Okay, now tell me this. What about that mysterious fluff inside of a Three Musketeers?
Is that a type of a nougat?
I'm not really sure. I've never really known what it was.
Like a creamy nougat?
I don't think it's a creamy nougat, no.
I mean, it's pretty good, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not usually my first pick, though.
You're a Twixman.
Oh, I love the Twix.
Yeah. I know.
Well, WrestleMania 5 is just a few weeks away, this son of a bitch. Well, it took place in February, but aired on March 11th, 1989. We get a package highlighting the Mega Powers' rise and their explosion last month at the main event. And today, Elizabeth must choose whose corner she's going to be in.
Yeah, they make that seem like the... a tub. Oh, go ahead. No, tell them. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell them.
It's been dubbed the decision of a lifetime.
Yeah, where she's going to stand. Where she's going to stand. That's it. Not do anything, because she doesn't fucking do anything. We know that. Where she's going to stand is a decision of a lifetime.
You just don't get it. She is crucial to this storyline.
Wait. Reverse a little bit here, motherfucker. I just don't get it. Please explain to me what I don't get.
She is crucial to this storyline.
The bimbo wrecked the Mega Powers.
Right, and they're going to explode at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, and both of them forgot, right? Golden rule. What's the old bro rule, right? The one where, you know, it's bros before the hoes, right? Or maybe it's bros for hoes. But both of them forgot, right? And for what? For that mantelpiece?
Yeah. I mean, there has been times she's been a nuisance, for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, like, half of our last show was based around Miss Elizabeth. You know, this
based around her laying there.
You tell me, I just don't get it. You don't get it.
It's the key ingredient that made this storyline memorable, I think. Her being in the middle of the two of these guys.
Okay.
I don't know. It just adds more than just like, hey, I'm going to take your title, brother. Right?
They could have done the story without Liz, though. We agree there.
They could have, I'm sure. Yeah.
Very easily could have.
Well, you got that decision of a lifetime coming later, which I'm sure you're pretty excited about.
Yeah, I'm really, really concerned about where she's going to stand.
So Jess welcomes us. He's got a Yale sweatshirt with a white bandana, some aviator shades. One of his more tame looks.
Yeah.
I don't know why he went with the Yale sweatshirt.
I think it's a shot at Vince. Well, last time he said Vince is from, was it Harvard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jesse needs like a... He's like, what do they call that? A stylist?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's his own stylist.
He's all over the map.
Yeah. What was he wearing? He was wearing some flashing sunglasses last time with a bright green boa and a dolphin shirt.
Right, right. Flamingos before that. He's just all over. He dressed like a 1920 style street beat reporter at one point. Like he's got to rein it in, right?
I mean, it adds some intrigue. I wonder what he's going to look like at Mania, man.
He's probably going to underdress. That's what he did at Mania 4.
You think they're going to give him a posing spot?
I hope so.
That was a pretty decent spot. I mean, I get it. It's a little overboard with the Liz, right? Like I said, she was a key ingredient here, but she's definitely secondary to Macho and the Hulkster. And... You know, Jesse says he doesn't want to talk about women. He wants to talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, he's your guy, really.
My man, yeah. You got to work on the dress, but yeah, I like him.
He gives us a rundown of what we're going to see tonight. Pretty good lineup of matches. Nice to have more than two, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably.
You're going to have Beefer and Ravishing Rick and Rockers, Brainbusters, a whole bunch of good stuff here. Me and Gene standing by with Bobby the Brain and Ravishing Rick. Talk about their plans to get rid of the barber. Last thing that Ravishing Rick wants to do is to be in the ring with an ugly guy like the Beefer.
Yeah, this is rough though. Like I don't you had to have picked up on this. The audio sucks.
Right.
Hard.
I make a note right here that I hope that improves.
Yeah, well,
but
you can hope in one hand and let me and jack me off with the other and see, you know, which one wins.
This one kind of doesn't make any sense though, because this was pre-taped. They could have totally fixed that.
That's what I thought too. Yep.
Or even have them redo the promos, you know.
Well, it's not just the promo audio though. Vince and Jesse's audio is fucked too.
Right.
It's all over the place.
Rude says he's going to give Beefer a rude awakening if he tries to lock in that sleeper hold. And then blows a kiss for the camera and they head out to the ring. So they talk about Bobby being out there for three matches tonight. Man, I bet he's in probably close to... It's got to be at least twice that coming up at the Mania.
Probably. Somewhere around there.
Probably hardest working guy on the card.
Managers generally are, if they're actual managers.
Well, Beefer's in the back. Says he's the official barber of the WWF. Talk about Ravishing's body. Oh, yeah. He talks about cutting Outlaw Ronnie Bass's hair. And doing some cutting and strutting and heads out there.
He says it twice, too. He doubles up on cutting and strutting. Cutting and strutting. Cutting and strutting. Shit. Cut your wrists and strut down to the morgue.
Just in case we missed it the first time, you know.
Oh, right.
That's what he's here to do.
Cut and strut.
So the Beefer, despite limited ability, gets over pretty good with the crowd.
He does. He does. I you can't, like, I don't care for Beefer all that much. Decent sleeper. Not a double J sleeper, but a decent sleeper. The crowd does definitely love him. I don't know where... Was it the Hulkster rub? Did he have some hack rub somewhere along the way? He had to get some rub. I just don't know. It can't be just because he's cutting and strutting, right?
I think his theme song, which was introduced early in the season,
mm-hmm.
has something to do with it. That gets you pumped up. I remember playing the WrestleMania Challenge video game back in the day on regular NES.
Yeah.
I get pumped up whenever he came out.
It even sounded almost better in the 8-bit style, too.
Yeah, man. I might have to dig that out. It's been a while.
Yeah. Take a look.
It looks like Rude's wearing the Ultimate Warrior on his ass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Barber's wearing those white tights that are all cut up. His signature pink gloves. We get a back body drop early on. Nobody takes that better than Rick Rude.
Man, and this period of time, there's not a better seller on the card. Rude is the best salesman, only maybe to be rivaled by Mr. P. That's it.
Yeah, he makes Beaver look real good here.
Yeah.
He gets him in the corner, goes to town with some punches. Jess yells at Hebner to, you know, break it up because, as we established, doing a 10 count, that's stretching the rules, you know?
It's not stretching the rules. It's breaking the rules.
Beaver locks in the sleeper, but Rude gets out of it. He's thrown into the corner. All Barber early on. He delivers a hell of a... You know, we've established this is his best move. You know, atomic drop.
Yes.
You throw Rick Rude on the other end of that. That's about as good as it gets for an atomic drop.
It's pretty beautiful, man. It is.
Ravishing Rick, he locks in a reverse chin lock. Kind of looks like a sleeper. And then we see your guy, Andre, calmly walking down to ringside.
That is the first moment of happiness I got out of this. And like, I was locked in. I was paying attention, right? I had my notebook out. Nothing was gripping me at all. And then Andre the Giant comes strolling down to the ring. And I went, oh, I think it moved. I'm pretty sure it moved.
And he doesn't disappoint, man.
No, man. What does he do? He comes out and he just drops ass. Right on Beaver.
Several times.
It's amazing, man. Let me ask you. So, if you were Andre the Giant, and you're essentially your demolition ass.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's laying there, and all you have to do is just drop your ass on him. Wouldn't you just do it over and over and over again? Would you ass Beaver to death?
I might switch it up with like a choke, right?
Okay, because too many squats. Got to get your win back.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends what kind of a win you want to get, right?
Oh, yeah, there's that, too.
I mean, you sit on him several times, and then you get the pinfall, you know?
Do that, yeah.
You want to, like, choke him out, go for a sub-TKO type of deal, but...
Right. He could still tap out, though, due to ass.
I probably would.
After one.
I would no say, more ass!
I would say, Mr. Andre... That was an honor. No mas.
Can't take any more ass, brother.
No.
That is a devastating move. And I mean, hats off to Andre at this stage in his career. You know, limited physically with what he could do, but those couple of moves we just mentioned is really all you need, being
right.
A guy his size.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, I would ask people all the time. I do it as a joke, like if somebody was taking a nap.
Just drop ass on him.
Just drop ass on him, man. Yes, that is sweet.
Yeah, Jake the Snake makes his way out there with the bag, and he's going after Ravishing Rick. Beaver's down. The Heenan family has the advantage, and they're really giving it to Jake. Beaver gets up, gets in there. We get another atomic drop. Tosses out Rude. He goes for the Giant. What are you doing, Beaver? Fucking idiot.
He wants some more ass.
Just couldn't get enough, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Andre, could I get some more ass?
I mean, we saw this with Duggan and many others, right? I mean,
yeah.
You don't go after Andre.
No.
You focus on the task at hand if you can. But he gets manhandled, and out comes Big JS. You got a stare down between the two big fellas. These two faced off in the first Mania in that $10,000 body slam match.
You ever feel bad for Big JS?
Not regularly.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, sometimes I really do. Andre just beat the shit out of him every time they were out there. You know, and it's, I love Andre. At the same time, like, man, take it easy on Big JS. Also, though, Big JS didn't really want to be a wrestler, so there's that side of it, too. So then I'm like, well, no, he doesn't even want to fucking be a wrestler. Kill Big JS. But then you'll watch it, and you're like, oh, no, take it easy. Take it, be nice on Big JS. Very torn. Very torn.
I can see that.
Well,
wasn't the deal just something like Andre was kind of asserting his dominance as I'm the giant?
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone want too much more to it than that?
Not as far as I know. I mean, it's not like, you know, Andre or Big JS are around. You can go ask them, like, hey, Mr. Andre, what'd you think of Big JS?
They just gave Big JS the big push at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And it
I told you the whole fucking thing behind that, though.
What thing?
Where Big JS kept on like telling him, like, no, I'm in the best shape of my life. Everything's looking great. Doing fantastic. I'm squatting 5 million pounds, all that kind of stuff. And then they went to go film some return vignettes, and they took him to the old weight gym. And he couldn't lift shit. You know, found out he maybe wasn't in the best shape of his life. So that didn't get him far.
He's a guy who really benefited. And this, I mean, he's not special. Everybody does. But from having the brain in his corner, like, I don't think it really worked him coming back as a face.
Better combination, though. Big JS and Bobby or Andre and Bobby?
Well, you kind of have to give it to Andre. But yeah, the tables were turned back at the first Mania.
Yeah,
you got any fond memories of that body slam challenge?
Just Bobby running away with the money.
He knows what's important. Like I said, we get that stare down, then we get Jake throwing the snake in the ring, Andre leaping out of there. Apparently, John Studd's cool with snakes.
Yeah, he don't mind.
Jesse thought Andre was cured from his fear.
Yeah, and Andre's not afraid of snakes. He told us that.
Looking to get some cardio in?
Yeah. So quick cardio. Nothing wrong with that.
Just to the back.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, again, maybe he had to take one of those big old Andre grumpers.
Definitely possible. In which case, he's doing everybody a favor.
Right, yes.
So they give this one to Brutus, but it probably should have just been thrown out because it was kind of a shit show once everybody started showing up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. Like, why are you giving B for the victory via DQ? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me here in this situation. I guess if the referee saw Demolition ass drop an ass, then maybe. But I don't know that he did, so. Yeah, just throw it out.
A few weeks, we're going to have Jake the Snake taking on Andre at the Mania, and Rude's going to be taking on the guy on his trunks, the Warrior, for that IC title.
It'll be fun.
And we see the Hulkster says that Bad News is going to pay for that shit he's been talking about, Miss Elizabeth. Oh, yeah. So this could be the last time that Liz accompanies the Hulkster.
Is this where Hulkster talks about a solemn vow?
Soon.
Okay.
First, Jesse, he's in the back talking with Bad News, asking him about the rumors that Liz has been doing favors with Jack Tunney.
And Bad News doesn't blink. He doesn't blink, and his eyes are basically out of his head.
He's a bad man.
You think he's on the naughty list?
It's a safe bet for most of these guys, I think.
Okay. All right.
Here's a controversial take.
Yeah.
All right. I bet Big JS wasn't on the naughty list. And his promos may have benefited. just very dull.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I said, that's controversial, not condoning the use, you know, but.
Right, right.
But yeah, they talk about the seedy underside of the Jack Tunney administration. Yeah, I don't know, man. What do you think about this? You think Liz has been doing some favors?
No, I don't.
No?
No, I don't think she does shit. What kind of a favor do you think she's going to do? Clap for you?
I think he's suggesting something a little more in the naughty list department.
Oh, remove an article of clothing and then clap for you?
Something like that.
Remove multiple articles of clothing?
If that's what it takes.
And then clap them nuts for you?
I mean, there might be something to this, right? Her guys are at the top of the card, right? I think that's what he's getting at, is that she's doing favors, you know, to keep her guys at the top of the card.
Oh, wait a second. So you think, because she showed up kind of brand new, Randy's manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't managing, like, Oliver Humperdinck or anything like that before.
No, it was him, like, the Dink, actually, and the Grand Wizard and the other
everybody,
bad guys at the time buying them.
Yep. And then she shows up, and boom, she's got Mach. So maybe, yeah.
You think maybe Mach is sending her up to Jack Tunney's office in Titan Towers?
Yeah. She go up to Tunney's to go have some funny with Tunney. Could you imagine that? Because Jack Tunney's a pretty big dude, right?
I mean, yeah, he's probably not any bigger than the Hulkster or
right.
Savage.
That's true. But he's a stern guy, too. He's very stern.
He's all business, you know?
Yeah.
He's like the dad that shows up a couple times a year when you really...
Right, when you're really fucked up.
Really.
Yeah, so he's a stern guy. He's a just let's get the poison out. He's a missionary lover.
Man, I got to say, I like Bad News' approach, though, right?
Yeah. Don't blink.
Well, look where it gets him, you know? He's facing the Hulkster in a primetime spot here.
Oh, okay. Now I see what you're saying.
That's what you do. Hulkster, he's in the back with Mean Gene, and he's, Hulkster's a little shook up here. Tells Mean Gene to shut up.
I didn't care for that.
Like the usual, you know, happy-go-lucky Hulkster we're used to.
Yeah, I didn't care for shut up Mean Gene either.
I thought these guys were buddies, man.
Yeah, I want to hear, you know something, Mean Gene?
No, right.
Shut up, Mean Gene.
So this is a rather somber, you know, promo by Hulkamania standards. It says that destroying the Mega Power team hurts some brother. He saw the jealousy in the Macho Man's eyes. And he's going to stick up for Liz and defend her against these, you know, these rumors, the bad news been spreading around.
Yeah, spread them. Like you did for Tunney, Toots.
Oh, there you go. Kind of sounds like he's losing his voice here.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Maybe he just had a ton of cigs.
Think so?
Yeah. Sometimes that happens.
Next up, we're going to have Bad News Brown taking on the Immortal Hulk Hogan, accompanied by Miss Elizabeth. So she's out there with the white dress, and the Hulkster holds the ropes for her. Jesse gets on his case because, I mean, it's like what's he doing kind of a thing, which, I mean, kind of goes back to your point. I mean, the manager's job is to help him get into the ring comfortably, right? Hulkster's kind of turning the tables on it.
Well, it's not really necessarily the manager's job.
It's a nice gesture, right?
It's a gesture, yeah, it is.
I mean, we kind of been scraping the barrel on, you know, Liz's uses, and that's honestly one of her biggest spots, right? Sitting on that middle rope.
Thank you for saying it, and I'm gonna make sure you remember that.
I mean, it's a consistent spot. I mean, it's like her leg drop, right?
Yeah, her sitting on a rope is like her leg drop.
Oh man, we're gonna be seeing Liz soon enough here with that promo. That's. You know, like us on the edge of our seats here.
And her sitting on Jack Tunney's frozen rope is...
Well, bad news, he catches the Hulkster off guard early on. Gets off to an early advantage before missing back-to-back fist drops, getting knocked out to the floor. Hulkster follows him out, brings him in the hard way over the top rope. Hogan connects with a flurry of offense. And nails a big boot, and surprisingly, he doesn't go for the leg drop in the cover.
Yeah, I thought that was strange. Yeah, very strange. I think you're so, like, conditioned when you see big boot to think leg drop.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's what comes next, you know. Maybe his mind is elsewhere. You know, he's all shook up. Losing his best buddy and such.
Yeah, maybe.
And Hogan gives Brown an atomic drop, sends him to the outside. They brawl out there for a while. Bad News goes for a punch and nails the post. He grabs a chair, doesn't end up connecting. He gets frustrated and rams the chair on his own head a few times. He paces around the ring like he's looking for something.
This is the best part of the entire fucking match.
He says, wait there as he goes to the back.
Might be the best spot of the entire fucking, like, the entire night.
It's pretty good. It surprised me.
Looking around, can't find anything. And it looks like he knows where it should be. Right, he knows. And then he just takes off. Big question, though. He takes off, and they cut to commercial break. Should there have been a count out along the way here?
Well, Hulkster stopped him.
Oh, he keeps stopping the count.
Yeah, he stopped the ref because, you know, he didn't want to win it that way.
Okay. So then they come back from commercial, and we see old Bad News walking down with a fucking snow shovel. And he's holding it up. And this part is the just perplexing to me. Vince calls it an object.
Yep.
Could he not pull snow shovel?
It's kind of like the equivalent of maneuver, right?
You don't even have to call it snow. You could have just called it a shovel.
Yeah, it's a shovel.
But he calls it an object. What? Why, man? Explain that one to me. Like, why are they? Why just call it a shovel? You know it's a shovel, right?
Yeah, he should be calling it like he sees it.
Right.
I mean, even us in the audience, thousands of miles away from the event, we could tell it's a shovel.
Definitely a shovel. We both know that.
You know, I'm wondering, like, that surprised me because I had no idea what he was going for, right? And he comes back with this fucking funky-looking shovel. I'm wondering what he's going to do with it, you know?
No, the answer is
shove it up somebody's ass?
Nope. Nothing. He's not doing shit with that shovel.
Do you think maybe there was a better object that was supposed to be available for him? He just went back there and couldn't find anything. And he had to come back with something, right?
No. Well, yeah, you're right. He couldn't just leave and then show back up with nothing. It would have been funny if he came back with a hoagie. Right? Like a 6 foot, like a foot long, you know, I don't know, meatball hero, right? Just a classic walking down.
Just stuffing his face on the way down to the ring, or you think
something, you know, that would have been funny. But coming back with the shovel, part of me thinks what actually could have happened is that time. You know what I mean? Like they wasted too much time. So anything that they would have planned for what was underneath the ring there. Bad News can't find it. He walks to the back because clearly whoever was supposed to put it underneath the ring didn't put it underneath the ring. He gets back to the back, gets it, comes back out. By that time, they're probably overtime. So they just got to move on.
Right. They give this one a decent chunk of time. I mean, it's good showing for Bad News. Jesse the Body calls the Hulkster a fool for not taking the count out. Just keeps bringing the good points.
Oh.
They're on the outside. Bad News is stalking Liz around. Hogan takes the post. He appears to be in pretty rough shape and only evades a three count because his foot was under the ropes. Then we get Bad News asking for the mic. Says, look at your champ. Says, it's ghetto blaster time, fool.
Is that how he said it too? Look
something
at your
like
champ. It's ghetto blaster time, fool.
Pretty close.
Your impressions are not improving.
At least I'm taking a stab at it, right?
No, I like that you're trying. I do.
Jesse, again, He's not messing with that funny business in the back. He's on his game. Yeah. Just good point after good point. He's like, why did he just tell Hulkster what he was going to do?
Yep.
And so he missed the blaster, of course, because Hulkster knew it was coming.
Right.
Hogan hulks up, connects with the high knee. Big leg drop for the win.
Interesting, right? High knee.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually impressed with the Hulkster in this one. Like a lot more action.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm not a huge bad news guy, but this one kind of worked for me. I didn't mind this match. The bullshit with the shovel and all that could have gone, right? That could have gone away. Liz, she can go to hell, but the match itself, not bad.
It was enjoyable for sure.
Yeah.
So Hogan picks up Liz and puts her on his shoulder as the guys in the booth debate about his intentions.
Now, I know I've not been very pro Liz here, but even in this, she just looks like she doesn't want to be there.
I mean, she does the cup the ear thing, man.
Barely.
She's trying to have a good time.
She barely cups the ear. She doesn't get Hulkster-y, big old wind up, cup the ear over the rope, right? Big time. And she just kind of lazily swings her hand around and then barely cups the ear and kind of leans, right? Act like fucking want to be there.
Maybe she's saving her energy for a big promo later.
Yeah, I bet she is.
You see the Macho Man pacing in front of Liz's room in the back there. Isn't she out at ringside?
Yeah.
Maybe he must be waiting for her to get back or something.
Is that what it is?
Make it make sense, you know?
Like she's out past curfew?
He's a pretty intimidating guy, the Macho Man.
Yes.
You know? And next up, we get a taste of that $1 million belt. Reportedly worth $1 million. He says what is important is money, not tunny.
Money, not tunny, I thought was great. Like, if he was running for president of the World Wrestling Federation, definitely go with money, not tunny.
I'd vote for him.
Yes.
Do you remember that bit when he went to the place to get the belt?
Oh, my gosh. It was like a jeweler?
Yeah, yeah.
Barely, but yeah, it's in there.
Yeah, this is one of the classic gimmicks of this golden era.
Yeah.
You know, I know my first DiBiase fig had the $1 million belt with him. It's a pretty prestigious title. Doesn't go up for grabs too often. Definitely adds something to Tad. It's not like he really needed much, but it just adds to the package. So we get the Blue Blazer next. The red, white, and blue with the mask and the cape. You want to take it or should I?
Oh, man. Are we assholes for laughing about this? I don't know.
Well, all right, here it is. He intends to go airborne from the rafters if he has to. Too soon? I mean, do we just leave it at that?
It just goes full circle, doesn't it?
It's, yeah.
I mean, here he is. He says,
Blue Blazer, too.
Yeah.
Probably wearing the same gear.
Well, probably not the same gear, but yeah. it's just so, like, he talks about flying from the top rope, from the ring posts, even to the rafters. And I just fucking burst out laughing. And I like Owen Hart. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan.
One of the best.
Right. But when you hear him say that in the Blue Blazer gear in 1989, you just, man, just take a pause. Just take a pause a little bit there, Blazer.
Yeah, it's some crazy foreshadowing, man.
Yeah.
Pretty wild stuff. But definitely appreciate the Blazer, you know. He definitely adds something to the product. He's really the only guy doing these flips and stuff.
Well, see, that was something I was going to ask you here, because I mean we'll get into this, because the match starts off and he can't get his fucking cape off, which is hilarious. I laugh at that. But then he does some aerial maneuvers, and he's doing flippy guy things. So you're probably at what 3/4 chub or full chub?
Oh, it didn't take long, man.
Right. Yeah. Is it just because you finally saw somebody doing flippy guy bullshit?
These are good-looking flips, man.
Well, here's the thing. 89 flippy guy is so much better than 99 flippy guy, 09 flippy guy, 19 flippy guy, or 24 flippy guy. Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he adds, I mean, with the exception of maybe the Rockers, there's really few other characters on the card doing this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's the other thing. Like, it stands out because he is the only one, right? It's not every fucking match flippy guy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Same deal with Savage jumping to the outside.
Right.
Yeah, use it once in a while. It's special.
Yeah, exactly. Except for your dick.
Touche. But man, yeah, that $1 million belt bit, I don't know. I remember back as a kid, there was, I think the local vid store had like a subscription to Coliseum Home Video, because I remember there was compilations of a lot of these segments of, you know, what happened on Superstars, you know, kind of gave you a little context and whatnot.
Yeah.
But inside the ring here, DiBiase, I mean, he even goes up to the second rope, connects with the double axe. He says that's what it's all about. Goes for the backdrop, and the Blazer does a complete front flip over him. And then catches him by surprise, knocks him to the outside, follows it up with a big flying man to the ropes, through the ropes.
Yeah.
Looks great. Goes up, hits the crossbody in the ring for the two. And he gets caught in a power slam, and Ted picks up the win.
So I thought about this. He get power slam to win, right? Surprise victory.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully, right? I love a surprise victory. Why have we gone so far away from the surprise victory? Because the thing that really was kind of bugging me was I saw this thing somebody was talking about, oh, protect their finish. Protect their finisher. Like, we've gone so far away from any type of victories without finishers. Fuck it. Like, it kind of bugs me. Like, it almost kind of sucks.
I know what you're saying.
Right?
I totally get the vibe you're going with here, because even like a fucking, just a small package out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or just something catching somebody out of, you know, by surprise, like you said.
Right.
It doesn't happen. You have to go through the finisher 10 times.
Right.
Like, and it's pretty ridiculous. It takes away from the enjoyment. I think people, the fan of these days has just been conditioned at this point by decades of that stuff, you know. But
right.
Again, adding some variety, you know.
Come up with some creative finishes. It doesn't always have to be my finishing move. You docked it. My finishing move again, I got you. Oh, I got a 2 count. My finishing move again, oh, this time I got you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just...
Can you believe you kicked out?
Right. Get a fucking sunset flip finish, right? Something. I don't know. I'm a little tired about people, especially, like, asshole fans talking about, oh, protect or finish. It's a fucking show, idiot.
Right. Right.
It's a fucking show.
I mean, yeah, we didn't see the $1 million dream.
No.
Didn't need it. It was all right.
Love the $1 million dream. But as much as I love the $1 million dream, I loved the surprise finish.
Right. He caught him in the power slam, going for the flying man.
Right. Done and done. Like it.
Good showing for both these guys in a short match. Cool to see the Blazer and the new belt. Both these guys will be in action in our season finale, I think Blazer might have perfect, which is probably going to be a treat.
I like that, yeah.
But next, this is what they warned us about. Decision of a lifetime. So Liz, she's going to decide about which corner she's going to be in at WrestleMania 5.
Oh, is she?
But she actually doesn't. I kind of want to give it to you here to see what you think of this thing, because nobody's been more critical about Liz than you, and this is something else right here.
Well, right away, I'm going to tell you it's justifiable, and you know that. Beyond that, best part about the segment had nothing to do with Liz, had nothing to do with Hulk, had nothing to do with Mach, nothing to do with Gene. Had to do with a fan in the background. When Gene asked her whose corner she's going to be in, Hulk Hogan's or Randy Savage's, and a fan in the background goes, "My corner, Liz!" Yeah, I'm sure you'd be really excited for that to happen, but yeah, nothing's happening, buddy boy. Sorry, she doesn't do anything. Yeah, you're excited. It'd be like buying a soda, right? Like you really want a Dr. Pepper. A hot day and you want a nice ice cold Dr. Pepper. You're like, oh yeah, I got this Dr. Pepper. Can't wait. I'm gonna get into this Dr. Pepper. And you crack it open and it's fucking flat. That's what Liz is. Useless, worthless, didn't need the segment, didn't need it. It was absolutely fucking ridiculous. Whose corner you're gonna be in? Hulk Hogan's? No. Randy comes running out. Randy won't let her answer. He shouldn't let her answer. She shouldn't be out there in the first place. She's not a good actor, right? She's not saying anything noteworthy. He keeps on telling her, yeah, my corner, I'm the champ, going to be my corner, all this kind of stuff. And then Gene says, no, he wants to hear it from Liz. He wants to hear Liz say it. I don't want to hear Liz say shit. And then she says no. And then Randy's pissed, right? Hulkster comes out. Now it's a real situation.
Now he's pissed.
Now everybody's pissed, and he's, you know, he'd knock Randy's head right off there if he didn't, but he won't do it now because he's got too much respect for his manager. Like, it's just, it's not that good, right? It's not that good.
No, especially because nothing happens.
Right.
You know, you could probably say this is a metaphor for Liz, right?
It's a decision of a lifetime.
But, I mean, it shows off her, like, you know, dramatic skills or lack of dramatic skills.
Okay, there it was. I was going to say there's no dramatic skills there.
She doesn't pick either of them, so, I mean, I don't even know if she's going to be at the Mania. We'll see. You got to believe she's probably contractually obligated to be in Randy's
corner. If she's not going to be in either one's corner, what's the point of her being there?
At the Mania?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably best that she's not, right?
Right. Okay, so I'm going to walk it back one more time. If she's not going to fucking do anything when she's in the corner of who she's managing, why is she there?
Man, what about when she took the skirt off and showed some ace?
Oh, God, you saw more of Randy's. You saw more of Randy's ass.
That's fair. Randy's got more ass than she does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting. I don't, you know. It is best to just have Hogan versus Savage. That is the right move. So, yeah, I don't remember if she shows up or not. It'll be a surprise at our season finale.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 5. So now we get the Brainbusters in the back. Bobby the Brain. Bobby's had enough of the Rockers. Tully says they're action personified, the best team in history. Double A talks about some, you know, Marxist bullshit with the Division of Labor.
Whoa. Bullshit.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's not bullshit, you know.
It's not, yeah. I mean, come on. That's just because it's not your way of life doesn't mean it's bullshit. Also, he has gone into that well more than once. He does like the Division of Labor promo. It's not the only time I've heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a tough guy, though.
He is.
I mean, really looking forward to this next one. When I was looking at the card, this is the one that kind of popped out.
It's the one you wanted to see most.
Being the one, but he says they're going over the Rockers tonight to close his promo. And then we get me and Gene with the Rockers. Michael says they've been waiting for this in prime time. Jannetty says they're winners. And the Busters are winners. But then when they meet, somebody's going to have to be a loser.
Bad promo. Bad promo. Don't get me wrong. I love Marty Jannetty. We at GBW Pods, we love Marty Jannetty. But this is as good as the good luck promo.
Maybe a little bit better than the Good Luck promo.
Yeah, not very good. What do you think of his closing line when he says, when they're good, but when they're bad, they're better?
Not really sure what to think of it, I guess. Like, I like when, you know, when we're good, right? But that's kind of self-explanatory. So probably, you know, double language, remove some of that, clean it up a little bit. And then when we're bad, we're better.
Very little logic in that.
None. But then I thought, well, maybe it's like the bad guy, right? Razor Ramon? It's the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
So when they're bad, they're better. Like bad, like as in good, which doesn't make a lot of sense either. But you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's why, you know, I think that's why Razor Ramon was sent to show us the way, you know, being the bad guy.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha. Show us the way, Razor.
Razor Ramon? So the Busters are taking on the Rockers next. Good matchup. Rockers got them purple tights, yellow Rocker shirts. Early on, the Busters get the advantage, and Tully gets Jannetty in a pin combo. Michaels breaks it up with the Flying Man. Everybody's in there, and the Rockers get sent into each other. Do a do-si-do and knock the Busters to the outside. Double A goes to the top. I mean, you think he's trying to add high-risk Flying Man moves to his arsenal?
I don't know, man. If you're taking all that high risk, there should be some high reward at a certain point. But I mean, yeah, it just doesn't seem like he gets to the high reward part of it.
I mean, I know you took some flack on a recent episode of Tots, you know, for giving Double A the business, but he did go up to the top rope twice in the Royal Rumble match.
I know, man.
And then out of the gate here, he's trying to be fucking, you know, Eddie Guerrero.
Right. And Tropical came at me over that. Can S my D.
I'm usually on board with Tropical and his takes, but I mean, I don't know what Double A's doing here. I mean, HBK catches him with the body slam and a pretty poor Boston Crab. Tully comes in there. We got another melee. Get some of that Rockers action with the double drop kick. Future HBK hits a nice flying head scissors to Tully. Michaels goes off the rope, and Bobby grabs the top, sending him to the outside. And then the ref throws out Bobby. Yep. You like this move?
I'm okay with it.
Ref actually, you know, showing off his bules.
Yeah. I'm yeah. Like, hey. No, I mean, he should have kicked Bobby out. It makes sense to kick Bobby out. So, yeah, I'm good with it. I love Bobby. But it's time to go.
Good official.
Not bad.
You gotta
not
sign
bad.
Him, sign him some more matches. He's not afraid, you know.
You want an official that's not afraid, but you also want an official that's an overstep.
Right. That's kind of where I was going with that. You know, right. Sometimes you got the officials like that fucker on the Mania 4.
Right.
I'm glad we haven't seen him in months.
He hasn't been around. Yeah, he hasn't been around a while.
But he doesn't want to go. The ref gives him, like, a 5 count, which is kind of humorous. I kind of wondered how he's going to enforce that. Bobby takes the hint, heads to the back, and, you know, Jess says that'll give him a chance to get ready for the, you know, the Brooklyn Brawler, Terry Taylor match coming up.
Which makes sense.
Great teamwork by the Brainbusters. Go to commercial and come back, and Jannetty's getting tossed out of there. Tully nails the fist from the apron. We get a sunset flip with the classic Double A sell job. I think Double A is to sunset flips what Rick Rude is to atomic drops.
Yeah.
It just always delivers. Just, you know what
which
I'm
is,
saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. Arms flailing and all that, which is very funny, though, because he cannot take a slingshot. But he can sell a sunset flip. I just, it's so, maybe it's that he can't go forward. Maybe that's what it is.
That could be. Well, that's his whole trouble when he's in that sunset flip.
Right. Never works out for him. Arn can't do a fucking, can't do I lost my train of thought. Slingshot.
Slingshot. Right.
Yeah, can't do a slingshot, but that sunset flip, you can sell like a madman. There's something to that.
Well, Jannetty, he goes for a tag and gets caught in an inverted atomic drop instead. You get a big spine buster for Double A, who goes upstairs again. This time for a no-look Vader bomb. Okay, I admire the guy. He's trying to, like I said, add more to his arsenal, right?
Right.
But these guys doing these no-look moves.
Well, the Vader bomb's always been it's always been a no-look move. So I don't fault him for the Vader bomb. You know, yeah, I don't fault him for that. I actually was kind of excited to see Double A going for a Vader bomb. I love Vader, so makes sense. But then when Jannetty got the knees up, I went, ah. You don't do the Vader bomb, you bitch.
Man, I suppose there's really no way to lose there. You either get a Vader bomb or you get Jannetty.
Right. You know? Yes. That is a no-lose situation.
Michaels finally gets the tag, kicks some ass. The Busters do a nice tag team sunset flip combo, but it's not enough. Both teams get counted out, so we got a draw. Jesse leaves to go do his next interview.
I really, watching this match, I enjoyed it. It's very strange for me to say this, especially this time period of wrestling, because I haven't had to say it much. I wish they would have slowed down a little bit. Right, just slow down a little bit. Not much, right? Not much. There was some rules breakdown along the way. But I could have really gone for a Rockers Busters program.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. And the ending doesn't surprise me, really.
Not at all. Yeah.
And I'm with you. I mean, you see Double A, he's trying to, and even Tully, they're, you know, using quicker stuff, you know, kind of more high-flying stuff to keep up with the Rockers. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, slowing it down a little bit would have been all right because it seemed like there was consistent, like, run-ins and being thrown out and just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Some of it was very creative, too. Like, some of it was a lot of fun to watch, the breakups and that kind of stuff. But I just, like I say, that it's like they had seven good ideas, and they put all seven into this match, where they could have put just two into this match and then moved on, right? Mm. Keep a couple for next time. But it was still fun. Had a good time watching this match.
Yeah, and really a stacked time for tag teams.
Yeah.
These are probably two of my favorite three at the time going here. I mean, we've got the Rougeaus, of course, which we're not seeing tonight, but thankfully we're going to be seeing them at WrestleMania 5.
God, I love the Rougeaus so much.
But, I mean, we're not even talking Powers of Pain, Demolition, Heart Foundation. Just great time for tag team wrestling.
Still, even with all those tag teams, and don't forget the Bolsheviks, or the Conquistadors, man. There's a lot of them, but
Young Rougeaus
Stallions. Young Stallions probably are at the bottom of the list, but the Rougeaus are at the top of these. They're the top, right?
Yeah, they're going to be taking on the Bushwhackers at WrestleMania 5.
Ooh, that's another good one.
And they just showed up, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of fun with the Bushwhackers.
Great fucking time for tag team wrestling.
I mean, we'll get more into this at WrestleMania 5, but the one thing about the Bushwhackers that was always kind of questionable to me, even as a kid, is like, why are these guys, like, licking kids' faces when they come out? Kind of a weird move, right?
I'll get back to you on that one.
All right. We'll discuss that more on the finale, I'm sure. We're down to our final match here, and I mean, it's almost like a joke looking at it as the last match in the traditional main event spot. We got Terry Taylor, the Red Rooster, taking on the Brooklyn Brawler. But I do like this flashback we see. So the last Saturday night's main event, the Rooster laid his hands on Heenan. And then the next week, the Brain called the truce on the primetime wrestling, and then the Brawler showed up and, you know, cold cocked the Rooster and Monsoon.
And Monsoon. And Monsoon went down.
Part of me was hoping that Monsoon would have gotten involved in this, you know.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Yeah, he went down. You didn't see him after that. Nope. He was under the desk. Kind of like Liz and Tunney's office. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Jesse's in the back with Heenan and Lombardi here. He says that the Brawler is a better nobody than the Rooster. And the Brawler's damn proud, and he's not going to embarrass him. So this is kind of a lead up to the Red Rooster is going to be taking on Bobby the Brain Heenan at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing about that is that it's the match that goes on right before the Mega Powers exploding. Kind of questionable how they put the cards together back in the day, but
a little bit, yeah.
Mean Gene's in the back with Terry Taylor, and he's like doing this. Do you like him buying the gimmick and doing this like head bobbing, clucking thing?
No, man, because he's not really getting into it. Like, it's a little bit here and there, right? A little bit here and there, but he's not really getting that into it. It's kind of weird. I'm doing that neck thing. It's making me look like I'm sucking off my microphone, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he's...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but he's not fully into it. The hair was weird, right? It's that strange, like, it's almost a mohawk, but it's not a mohawk there in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, I don't know, his promo work is not great. He talks about he's a nobody, he's not a nobody, and Brawler's a nobody. Why can't somebody just be somebody, right? Why is the Brawler a nobody, and Rooster's a nobody, and both of them are nobodies? Why do I care?
Well, the Rooster does make a point to tell us that he is a somebody.
Oh, he is a somebody. Gotcha, right. Gotcha. Okay.
So, he closes with a cockle-doodle. Can't even fucking say it. A cockle-doodle-doo. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, a cockle-doodle-doo.
There you go. He comes out with the shiny red and silver robe.
Okay. Fucking his music, right? Did that... Does it throw you off at all?
I don't remember his music.
You don't?
No.
Man.
Is it like a farm theme?
I thought, yeah, it would have been better. I thought an alarm
like clock. Like old McDonald?
Hey, no, all you hear is.
There it is.
And then it goes into some like B-side track. It was weird, man. It was pretty far out.
Huh. I do remember that rooster noise there.
And isn't it weird that
I'd say it butchered again?
You got Rooster with entrance music before you got fucking Ted with entrance music.
Yeah, that's a little backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry Taylor. Are you still coming around on Terry Taylor? See your guy here?
Undecided.
All right. Well, you got
I've never made the turn on him. I just said we should give him more of a shot.
We'll see what he does here. We got the Brawler. He looks like he's got that gimmick down. Just looks like a bum with the dirty jeans and the old dirty Yankees jersey with holes in it.
Yeah.
You know, pretty sure that's the gimmick, that of a bum, you know. So, Rooster lands a drop kick and a hip toss, and the crowd's behind the cock. Rolls up the Brawler. I mean, if you're going to use the Red Rooster, don't you throw that type of language around as much as you can?
Cock?
Or why are you even using it?
Yeah, I never thought of that, I guess.
I mean, I guess it was kind of a more family-friendly time back then, but.
Right, but if you're using it in that sense, it's probably okay. You get a pass.
It's correct, technically.
Yeah, good point.
Get your mind out the gutter. So he rolls up the Brawler, gets the win. Real kind of nothing match here. Heenan gets the ring after the bell, and he and the Brawler give it to the Rooster. And that's going to be it for the card here.
It's a nothing match. Really a nothing match. Not much to it. I think more than anything, it was just so they can get the attack after the match. Didn't do absolutely anything for me outside of the fucking entrance music, which I might be making a turn on the entrance music. I think I might be coming around on that. Just that start.
I'm still secretly hoping that Hillbilly Jim shows up and throws all these guys in the barn, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be a good stable when they get that going.
We get one more segment. Macho Madness is here with me and Gene. They're in the bathroom. Savage is pissed. He don't need anyone because he's the champion.
He's the champ. He doesn't need anybody.
And then he starts trashing the bathroom, almost trips over the trash can. That would have
whoa,
been...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean almost? He falls on his ass.
He's just all out of sorts.
He fucking falls on his ass. I even wrote down, he's a champion. He falls like a champion.
He rips his shirt and tells us he's the champion one more time. We get the end credits. Some highlights from that Mega Power saga. And that's it, man. Sets us up for WrestleMania 5 coming at you next time. I mean, I still haven't gotten really used to having the throwaway match at the end.
Right.
Which is what Saturday Night's main event does, you know?
You know, and we've seen a couple few of these Saturday Night's main events. I wasn't able to get super into this one anywhere along the way. I mean, like, I didn't mind the Bad News Hulkster match. But I didn't really get into it. I was hoping more from Rick and Beefer, but couldn't really get into that. Rockers and Busters was fun. Maybe my favorite match on the card. I can't even say maybe. It definitely was. But like even that, I had some critiques on. It's an easy watch. I never really got, you know, never got sucked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's an hour long, so it is, you know, it is easy to get through it. And it's broken up into the TV segments and whatnot.
Right.
It'll be a stark contrast when we get WrestleMania 5 with 3+ hours just nonstop.
And you want to know what's going to happen?
Hope you got the rundown, because I think we're going on 15, 20 matches.
Oh, boy. We got 14 matches at WrestleMania 5.
14. All right.
Back of lunch, bitch.
It's going to be something else. What do we got?
We got Haku versus Hercules. We got Rockers against the Towers. Got Ted versus Beefer. The Rougeaus versus the Whackers. Blazer and Perfect. Demolition versus the Powers of Pain. Mm-hmm. Dino with Frenchie against my main man, Rugged Runny Garvin. Wait, what are you fucking laughing at that for?
I'm sure that's going to be a standout.
You motherfucker, what's fucking wrong, right? Rugged Ronnie's the man.
Rugged Ronnie.
Oh, grow up. Strike Force versus the Brainbusters. We got Andre the Giant versus Jake Roberts. We got Greg Valentine and the Honky versus the Hart Foundation. Warrior versus Rick Rude. Bad News versus Jim Duggan. Rooster versus the fucking Bobby the Brain, and a Hulkster versus Randy, man. That is packed.
A stacked card.
I know. It's packed like a fucking Christmas stocking. All the way to the brim.
There's plenty of intriguing matchups there.
There is. A lot of tags, too. A lot of tags.
Oh, yeah. We got, Whackers, Rougeaus, Pain, Demolition, Foundation, and Future Rhythm and Blues.
14 matches. I think we got 5 tags. I'm in for that.
It'll be a hell of a show, that's for sure. I mean, I think like the strength and the weakness of this last main event that we just covered is probably the same, because I think they did set up some of what's going to happen pretty good.
Okay.
But they could have definitely spent more time setting up what was actually going to be, you know, leading into the big show coming up. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah, makes sense.
It's going to be, it'll be something else.
Forward to it, man.
All right, well, that's about it for this one. Tuning in, we got 11 down, one more to go here. Season number 6. Covering old school WWF, and then we're going to be going to somewhere in parts unknown coming up next.
Ooh. Sexy.
With that,
douchebags. Pull it out of there.
Into heaven.
Slide a one
in there.
Yes, I got homie with me.
Pull it out of there.
Yes, I got homie with
me. Pull it out of there.
Now wind up with